and welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. On today's show, we have three guests from the zoo, but not in their capacity as zookeepers, but as zookeepers in another capacity. And I know that doesn't make any sense, but we'll explain it shortly. We have Alex, who is a bird keeper. We have Allie, who is a small mammal keeper. And we have Shalini, who is a large mammal keeper. But we're not talking about their jobs specifically here at the zoo today. We're talking about an organization they all belong to called AZAC. And we will let them explain what AZAC is. So, Allie, why don't you get us started? Tell us, what is AZAC and why are you guys involved?
All right. So AZAC is an acronym. It's A-A-Z-K, and it stands for the American Association of Zookeepers. And there are hundreds of chapters all across the country, and anyone who is a zoo professional or volunteers at a zoo or people who are just passionate about animal welfare can join AZAC. It's just a group to keep zookeepers connected and help us achieve conservation goals outside of our job. It's pretty fun. This is the Iowa chapter. We've been around for a little while, so we're having fun events and we do awesome stuff.
Yeah, so it's like a professional club or association.
Yeah, it's a professional organization to help better keepers and our jobs. Give us life skills.
And just about every accredited zoo, as I understand it, has a local AZAC chapter.
Yeah, so the chapter can either be tied to the zoo directly if the zoo sponsors it, or they can be general state or city chapters.
All right. So, yeah, in some of the bigger cities that have two zoos, they might have one chapter.
And yeah.
That's how the zookeepers get to hang out with each other, right?
Yeah.
Now, is it just zookeepers, or can other people be involved in AZAC?
Other people can be involved. It's a lot of times it's mostly zookeepers, but we love having like zoo volunteers. Our interns are welcome to join. Doesn't have to be full-time staff. Part-time staff can, or even people who aren't zookeepers. So anyone in management can join, or even regular people are welcome to join. But in order to hold an office in the AZAC group, you do have to be a full-time animal care person. So I serve as the secretary for our AZAC chapter, and Alex is our social media liaison.
Well, that sounds really great. And you meet about once a month, is that mm-hmm. about what it is? And sometimes you meet here at the zoo, and sometimes you're at a park, but you do get to do some fun things. And so one of the things coming up, Shalini, why don't you tell us, you're the rhino keeper, so why don't you tell us what this event is all about?
Yeah, so we have an amazing event. It's an annual fundraiser called Bowling for Rhinos. It's what kind of prompted me to join AZAC. Obviously, I'm a rhino keeper and I love the rhinos. This is a really great opportunity for zoos to kind of come together and raise money for projects, rhino-specific projects in the wild. 100% of proceeds from Bowling for Rhinos goes to conservation efforts. As we all know, rhinos are being poached daily for their horn. And these organizations that come together, what we will be supporting is for research to be done, paying and supporting guards who work with these rhinos and the areas that they have to be protected, provide uniforms and vehicles at some point. Every year, all the accredited zoos who have AZAC come together and put on this fundraiser. And just looking at the stats from 1990, which I believe it started, to now, we've raised over $7 million for rhino conservation, which is really amazing and incredible. And it's a fun family event. It will be on May 19th, 6 to 8 p.m. at Merle Hay Lanes. And then Alex can go into detail about how to sign up and how to go about that. But yeah, it's a family event. You could bring your friends. We'll have food, fundraiser, raffle items. And like I said, 100% of the money that we make will directly go to these projects. So it's pretty amazing to be part of and a great way to get the community involved.
Tell us, how much does it cost and how do you get tickets?
All right. So our Bowling for Rhinos event will be on Sunday, May 19th from 6 to 8. Right now, before May 1st, you can sign up for Early Bird, which is $25 for bowling, for shoes, food, and 5 raffle tickets. And if you do it with a t-shirt, it's $37. And for the kids, it'll only be $12. After May 1st, the regular sale will be $30. for the bowling, shoes, food, and 5 raffle tickets, or it'll be 42 with a t-shirt and 15 for kids. And anyone who wants to go but doesn't want to bowl, it'll only be $15 or $25 with a t-shirt. On our Facebook event, there's a link that you can go to, but it is iowa-azac2019.eventbrite.com is where you can go and sign up for the event.
Okay, so why don't you give that web address one more time?
It'll be iowa-azac2019.eventbrite.com.
And if you didn't catch that, if you head over to the Iowa AZAC Facebook page, there'll be a link on there, and you can figure out how to purchase tickets, because there's all sorts of different options, it sounds like, and it sounds like a lot of fun. I've attended this event in the past, and even though I'm not a big bowler, I sort of do it granny style. You know?
Between we have the bumpers. Legs, right? We have bumpers
Right.
Yeah, it's really fun. This year we just finalized our t-shirt design, so we got a cool new t-shirt coming out. One of our AZAC members just designed it, and it was on our Facebook page, and any artist was allowed to submit a design for our t-shirt. And so Jen from the Small Mammal Team, her design was chosen, so we're really excited to start getting t-shirts made for the event. But yeah, you can get a t-shirt. You don't have to bowl. You can bowl if you want. I'm one of the worst bowlers, but it's a really fun event anyways. Yeah. I was really proud to get a 70 last time, so I figured that was a good night. So
yeah, maybe me and you could figure out have a little challenge. We could beat each other, right?
Well, that's also something every year we do, a high score prize and a lowest score prize. So last year I was really bummed. I really wanted the lowest score, but I was like a couple points off from the lowest score. But this year, I believe some of our prizes in our raffle drawing are some animal art. I know we have a rhino butt print that's going up for our raffle. So yeah, we've got some cool stuff, and some of those awards.
Limited edition, I bet.
Oh, yeah. And some of those awards are going to be for our highest and lowest bowlers. So
sounds good. Now, Shalini, in the past, have I seen you guys do something with the rhinos that try to promote this? I saw some bowling pins in there once.
So Keanu, if you guys don't know who he is our male black rhino that we have here, is also our star painter. He uses that upper prehensile lip as a paintbrush, and every year we try to get donated bowling pins, and he kind of gets really creative with it, and we let him paint all over that pin. And last year we did give away those as the prizes of the highest and lowest bowler, and we'll also have a few rhino painting to go in with the raffle and things like that as well.
Sounds great. Mm-hmm. Now, how specifically, let's get into the details of this money that is raised. How will this actually help the rhinos in natural areas?
Yeah, so the 100% of the proceeds that are going, we usually donate to International Rhino Foundation, and they're kind of responsible for overseeing multiple projects happening in various parts of the country. The money that they will be using is most probably going to be going towards research. These guards are protecting the land 24/7 at some points, border patrol. So we're going to be paying wages, not us specifically, but International Rhino Foundation has to pay those wages. And then uniforms, boots, just food. A lot of times they even support the families of the rangers that are, you know, putting their lives at risk every day for these amazing creatures. And a lot of it's going to be used for education as well. You know, we do a lot here at the zoo, but to know that what we're doing here is making a huge difference in the wild population is a huge honor and very important, especially in the zoo field, to be able to contribute to that.
It sounds awesome. And I think now that we have some time that we can talk about zookeeping. So let's go around the room, and maybe I'll start with you, Alex. Tell me what it's like to be a bird keeper. What do you do on a daily basis to take care of the birds? Because I'm sure people have a lot of ideas or pictures of maybe it's feeding the animals, maybe it's just, you know, picking up after them. But tell us what it's like on a daily basis to be a zookeeper.
Well, for the bird team, it is very busy. We're always busy. We're located all around the zoo, so we're constantly running around. Our days usually start with in the morning. We check on everyone, make sure everyone's good, and then we'll go into cleaning and feeding and letting them on exhibit. And then after that, it's just usually more cleaning, and then usually we'll go to lunch. And then the afternoon, it's time for projects to help better any of our exhibits or the holding spaces or anything else, work on enrichment. So anything else that would be fun for the animals and beneficial. And then in the afternoon, usually we'll do some training. So we train our Aldabra tortoises. And then we also train our Cinereus vultures right now and our African spur tortoises. And then after we do training, we normally go into closing. So then it'll be more feeding and bringing animals in to their holding spaces for the night and just making sure everyone's good again.
Sounds good. Allie, tell us which animals you work with and tell us a little bit about, like, sometimes the teams change and get new responsibilities, and I guess that's happened in small mammals. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so the small mammal team, there's used to be just a couple of us, and we took care of all the Kids Kingdom animals, the swans, the prairie dogs. We do all the wallabies in Australia and some of the animals in the Discovery Center, which are the red panda, the prancing-tailed porcupine, tamarins, and those bats that everybody loves. But recently, we were looking for a new challenge on our team to take on some more workload. And so we asked, and we're very excited to be granted. We now work with the Japanese macaques, commonly known as snow monkeys, at the center of the zoo. They became part of our team. And along with that, Jen, formerly a carnivore primate keeper, came over and joined our team on the small mammal team. So that's definitely, it's bringing along a lot of new challenges and new puzzles for us and things that we have to take care of. And slowly, each of us are training on to that routine and learning how to take care of the monkeys.
So you have a large variety.
Yeah.
When you think about it, you have everything from domestic farm animals to primates to Australian animals. So
yeah.
What is your favorite animal here at the zoo?
Oh, my favorite, it's a tie. I love primates, and I do love the challenge of working with so many different species, but the red pandas by far are my favorite. I love them. They're the best.
And we have quite an extensive training program with red pandas, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah, currently I am the primary trainer for our red panda female, Tudo. And she is the best animal ever. She's very smart. She figures things out so easily. And she is like the most accomplished animal on our team training-wise. She now can do ultrasounds. And she does all kinds of stand behaviors. I can get her to do pretty much anything for a vet procedure. It's awesome.
So you just said ultrasound. And when I think ultrasound, I sort of remember my wife getting one when she was pregnant with our kids. So is that in the future for our red pandas?
Fingers crossed, knock on wood. We'd like that to be. I'm preparing her for the future of that, yes.
The red panda exhibit is one of those that is very varied because they have an outdoor area, they have an indoor area, and they have sort of a behind the scenes area. Why do they get more space than anything, right?
Yeah, they get a bunch of space in the wild. They live in bamboo forests, so they go through a lot of different terrain. They're in the Himalayan mountains. So their indoor space is mountainous, kind of like what they'd be in. Their outdoor space, we tried to mimic like the trees, climbing up and high into the trees for their food. And then all of their behind-the-scenes space is for one day, hopefully panda babies, and things of that sort. And it's great to give them variety and choice in what they want to do during their day, so it's not us deciding for them. So they're allowed to have access wherever they want, whenever they want, as long as the weather's nice.
And temperature is a you know, important for the pandas, whether they can be outside, correct?
Yeah. So in the summertime, a lot of people are sad when they come to the zoo and they're not outside. But a fluffy red panda doesn't do too well in Iowa summer. It's a little bit too hot for them. So usually if it's 80 degrees or higher, they get stuck inside because they have air conditioning. And if it's too cold, we keep them inside. They do their best temperatures, 50 degrees. That's the best temperature where they're the happiest at.
I think I agree with the red panda. I think 50, 60 degrees is just fine sometimes. Shalini, I'm thinking right now with the birth of the baby rhino that you like taking care of the rhinos the best right now, but maybe not always. I mean, you got to take care of giraffe and okapi and all the other large mammals. Tell us about your day at the zoo.
Yeah, so we have quite an extensive collection as well, and Alex did hit on a lot of the points of what we do for our daily care. It's a lot of cleaning. All of our animals are huge hoofstock animals, so they're eating a lot, which means a lot's coming out the other end, and a lot of it has to do with cleaning in the morning and things like that. We do a lot of training for our rhinos and our giraffes, and right now we've expanded that to our Nyala, gazelle, and we briefly did have a training program for camels. I do really enjoy working camel routine. They're very personable. It's one of the first things you'll see coming into the zoo, and they're very curious of people. As soon as you come into the barn, everyone's running back to the barn to check you out, especially Ben. He's a big ladies' man, so any female keepers who come by, especially the new ones, he has to run and meet them. But they're just amazing, and right now they're going to be going through their little shedding period where you'll kind of see a lot of their hair falling out, preparing for the summer heat, which is fun to see, and very kind of odd too, because they go through a weird transformation stage and they could get a little straggly looking. But
they look like they're about half their size in the summer heat, right?
Yeah, the amount that we collect from the ground is like amazing.
And that's perfectly normal because the desert region that they're from has a huge variety of highs and lows.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're perfectly suited for Iowa, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. In the summertime, you'll come, they almost look like, you know, naked camels. And then by September, October, their winter coat starts coming in and they get all fluffed up again.
Last winter when we had that really cold day that was like the actual temperature was negative like 20 outside. Mm-hmm. They were the only animal I heard that actually dared to go outside that day.
Snow
leopards and snow monkeys didn't go outside that day.
Yeah. Yeah, they had access. They have access all the time. It's just how they're built. And it's pretty impressive. Like, that's what I really appreciate about all these antelope and hoofstock species, how hardy they are with these weather conditions. And living in Iowa, they've been given all kinds of challenges, and it's been, they're able to survive well and thrive in it.
The goats aren't hardy at all. The second it rains, they all want to come back in the barn because they're going to melt. So, yeah.
Now goats probably have the widest diet, right? I mean, they'll eat anything, and the goal is not to let them eat anything, everything.
Yes and no. Yeah. Surprisingly, they're very picky about what they eat, but they'll eat newspaper, cardboard. They eat their regular grain pellets that they get. They eat hay, but you give them something good, like what we would like strawberries, peaches. That's not good. They won't eat that. Mm-hmm. They'll eat carrots and apples, but that's about it produce wise. They're kind of picky, but if you walk by with a bag of the zoo's popcorn, they're going to be begging for that popcorn. Yeah. That's the good stuff, but you can't give it to them. That's not good for them. We would rather they didn't.
And, you know, you may not think about this, but we have to monitor their weight because it's a feeding area and we want to make sure they are an appropriate weight.
Yes, the goats are on a diet plan right now. Most of them are quite fat. We get a lot of people who ask us if our goats are pregnant. None of them are. We have no breeding goats right now, but they are in a diet plan, and we're working to get them more exercise and better food, so they don't weigh too much.
I can sympathize.
I can sympathize. Their winter weight's on, and so it's. I keep telling them it's time for their summer bodies. It's bikini season coming up.
We just did a show about the rhino calf, but do you have any updates about the rhino calf you want to tell us, Shalini?
It's still adorable. Last time I checked on it.
Yeah,
it's sleeping with mom. But yeah, she's just been doing really well. In the morning, she's super active, so I think we have some sort of live feed at times if you guys want to check that out. She's up and about, and then she kind of runs around for a little bit and then just completely passes out wherever she needs to be. And right now, she's been notorious for peeing on mom's hay. So you put mom's food down, she's got to climb on it and pee on it and I guess claim it as hers. And then she won't touch it, of course, now. But, yeah, and then she'll go and just lay down. So then Ayana has to deal with that.
So does Ayana want to eat that hay afterwards?
Or? Oh, it's Ayana. She'll eat anything, oh, she'll too.
Eat anything. Oh, my. I saw a video on our YouTube channel about crane chicks, and why don't you fill us in about the chick that we have here and some of the special things zookeepers are doing with the chick.
Oh, yes. Hand-rearing him has been a really long process for sure, but he's doing really good. I actually got to work with him today, and he is huge. Last time I saw him, he was just little, so small, he was able to fit in your hands. Now he's probably almost a foot tall. He's really big. But it's pretty much a lot of work keeping up, just making sure he's gaining weight, but not too much weight. So we feed him three times a day. And like the first two feedings are only 60 minutes so that he doesn't go over and eat too much. And then the last feeding is overnight. And he only can specifically have only a few bugs per feeding because bugs are really fatty and he'll gain a lot of weight. But yeah, it's just a lot of making sure he's doing good and like his legs are growing straight and his toes are growing straight since they bear a lot of weight on them at all times. And yeah, it's just a lot of, I mean, just like the rhino, just watching a lot of videos and just making sure he's doing good and growing well.
And the crane chick's parents didn't really take care of him. So keepers are hand raising.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a couple of the things you're doing to help with that. I saw a puppet being used.
Yeah, we have a crane head puppet that we use. It's just to mimic like what his mom would be doing because we don't want to imprint on him so that he's just relies on us all the time. We do want him to be more wild so that he can reproduce and stuff like that eventually. So we try and stay out as minimal as possible, and we do have decoys of cranes that look like his parents, so we try and keep those in there all the time so he sees like an adult what adult crane would be and just is used to growing up with that and not humans all the time.
I was hearing from Dr. Olds that we're going to try to put the crane chick back with the parents now that he's a little bit older and knows how to eat, and the hope is that the parents will teach him how to be a crane.
Yeah.
But if not, then step two of this process is like dressing up as a crane and showing him how to be a crane.
Yeah, I guess so. That is what I was been told. But yes, since we have
a little crane cosplay, right?
Yeah, basically, his parents are Bert and Tango. So we are going to try next week and introduce them back. And if that doesn't work out, we will introduce him to the second pair of crown cranes that we have, which is Woody and Rita. And if that does not work out, then we will have to do our crane play.
Keepers go to such lengths to make sure that their animals are happy.
Yeah.
Dressing up as a crane at work is something. That's
Well, I hope that the chick goes back with the parents because that would probably be best. But if you guys do have to end up dressing up as a crane, we'll have to get some pictures. I think,
That'll probably be really interesting.
Video. Yeah. Well, that's really great. What's your favorite bird you like to work with?
My favorite bird would probably be the ostriches. They have very distinct personalities between the two of them, but they're also just really hardy and they are really smart, even though sometimes they don't act like it. But yeah, no, they're definitely my favorite. I like them.
And the ostrich had a change this year, and visitors might be wondering where they're at. Tell us where they're going to be at this year.
They are down with the Watusi down in Africa. They will eventually be with zebra, and then they will be with guineas, and then they'll be with our Stanley blue cranes already down there.
So they're going to be on the southmost yard instead of the northmost yard. So look for that coming up this year. Shalini, another animal coming to Blank Park Zoo that is at Blank Park Zoo, but the preparing stages are zebra.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what we're doing to get zebra out on exhibit, and they're just getting them used to the new place, and it's taken a little bit longer than we probably thought, but tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, we have two, Zebra, Duke, and Duchess. They both came to us from the same place, but they haven't really been housed together. So it's been a little bit of a power battle down there in the barn. The females are more dominant, but lately he's been holding his ground and kind of showing her, like, you know, I can stand my ground and be a strong male. So it's been going pretty well indoors. We are slowly trying to introduce them to the exhibit. Right now they're still in the barn and they have outside holding space. She is more brave than he is right now, so she's more reliably going outside and using that space. Like for zookeeping, all of this needs to come in certain steps when you are introducing an animal to a whole new area. So we're going to be slowly introducing her to the corridor that she's going to be going down to the exhibit yard. And then hopefully eventually, if that goes well, we will give her access to the exhibit and make sure that the Watusi and ostriches will be off, just so they have time to explore their own space, know where the boundaries are, know how to reliably come in every day. So it's a little bit of a process, but we're hoping things will go well. And we're lucky right now that we've hit spring and it's a little bit better weather.
Yeah, that sounds like quite the process.
Mm-hmm.
We got a few minutes left. Let's just go over the facts and the statistics about bowling for rhinos one more time. And I see that it's May 19th.
Yes.
Could you give me all the details?
It's May 19th. Which is a Sunday night at Merle Hay Lanes at 6 o'clock. It goes until 8. There's going to be food and t-shirts if you want them. And it's going to be a really fun bowling night. You get, with your purchase of bowling, you get 2 games of bowling and shoes. And then food and shirts and stuff. And there's a lot of different price varieties. So in order to look at the different prices of your tickets, if you're bowling, not bowling, if you have kids, no kids, you can visit our Facebook page for the link to our Eventbrite site.
Yep, and that's the Iowa AZAC
events
page. And the tickets start at $25 and go up from there. Get your tickets before May 1st, before the price goes up, and you'll save some money.
Yeah, the price is best before May 1st.
But it's all for a good, it's all for a good cause. Help save rhinos in wild areas.
Yeah.
And it'll be an awesome event again.
And if you don't want to bowl or come, you're welcome to leave donations or become a lane sponsor. To sponsor a lane, you get a poster across the lane, and it's about $100 for a lane sponsor. So there's tons of ways to participate and feel involved.
Well, thanks so much. It's hard to believe a half hour has gone by so fast, but it has. And so if you want to learn more about Blank Park Zoo, head over to our website, blankparkzoo.com. And I want to thank our guests today, and thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time on Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.